This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. We are pleased to have Professor John Kent with us on the show. Professor Kent is a professor of business and legal policy at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. He is a nationally recognized expert on the economic impacts of gambling and has served as senior editor and contributing author of the U.S. International Gambling Report. His academic research and publications have contributed to the enactment of the 1999 National Gambling Impact Study Commission, the U.S. Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act of 2006, and various other federal and state statutes. Professor Kent is with us to discuss the economic harms of casino gambling, and particularly why casinos are generally bad for business. Professor Kent, it's great to have you with us on the show. We appreciate your time.
Well, thanks for having me back. My colleagues and I really appreciate your efforts to inform and educate the public on these issues.
Well, we appreciate your help in enabling us to do that through the great research that you have done and others across the country. Now, casinos are sold to the public as an economic stimulus for hurting communities. And in fact, we are hearing this argument from proponents of a plan by the South Carolina-based Catawba Indian Nation to build an enormous gambling complex here in North Carolina along Interstate 85, about 30 miles west of Charlotte in Cleveland County. Now, you have conducted research demonstrating that gambling actually has, and I quote, a zero-sum economic effect. Dr. Kent, can you explain this and help us understand in general terms, and we'll get into the specifics more in a little bit, but in general terms, how casinos actually harm local economies rather than create an economic boon?
Well, first of all, it would be nice to be able to say that this gambling is actually an economic benefit, but we've studied it for years, and it's lose-lose for everybody, except the owners at the top of the casino or the gambling enterprise. And I remember talking with our former U.S. Senator Paul Simon 20 years ago, and we indicated this because Illinois was one of the first gambling states to get the riverboat casinos, and now, of course, they're land-based. And he established the U.S. National Gambling Impact Study Commission, which was supported by your congressional delegation, and 90% of the U.S. Congress. And Senator Simon said, you know, we think you academics are right when you say this is lose-lose for everybody, but we need a U.S. government commission which will look into this and all sides of it. And guess what? They confirmed what we were saying. And really, among academics, it's pretty uniformly stated that this is lose-lose for the economy. Why? Well, it's because all this money is being dumped into gambling machines, slot machines in particular, instead of going into buying cars, refrigerators, consumer goods, and even food and clothing.
Well, you have pointed out in your studies that the socioeconomic cost of gambling actually outweigh the benefits by as much as 3-1. Give us some examples, if you would, of why this is the case.
Well, these aren't exclusively my numbers, although we've studied this. But colleagues across the country, including colleagues out of the University of Nevada at Las Vegas, have indicated that these social costs far outweigh the benefits. It's like legalizing cocaine or heroin. You're going to create a few jobs. You're going to create an economic flash. But the social costs of legalizing these hard drugs is absolutely phenomenal, and everybody knows that. But they don't know that about gambling. So the studies show that new gambling, legalized gambling, actually creates what we call the social costs of ABCs. The A stands for new addicted gamblers, like drug addiction, doubling around the area where the casinos or the gambling facilities are located. The B stands for new bankruptcies, up 18-42%, as people lose their money personally, professionally, and small businesses, and even large businesses. And the C stands for new crime, increasing 10% around these gambling facilities, and it increases 10% every year. Well, these costs are at least $3 for every $1 in benefits. In the case of tribal casinos, you're not getting any tax benefits really much at all, so the costs are really enormous.
Well, local officials in Cleveland County, including the local Chamber of Commerce, came out very early in support of this casino proposal, citing the anticipation of jobs and economic prosperity that would result. What does your extensive research tell you a casino like this would have on the local businesses in and around Kings Mountain, North Carolina, Cleveland County, and the surrounding region?
Well, I travel through Kings Mountain all the time. We have relatives in Georgia. And I would just take a look across the border at South Carolina. South Carolina had widespread legalized slot machines about 15, 20 years ago. And those came out in the National Gambling Impact Study Commission as really hurting the economy, as we've indicated, amongst other things, creating all these social issues. And Governor David Beasley, a former governor now, recriminalized all of those slot machines. They just threw them out of the state. And people need to remember that the modern day casino is really all about slot machines. 90% of the money going into casinos today is going into slot machines. Well, slot machines are known by the National Commission and academics everywhere as the quote unquote crack cocaine of creating new addicted gamblers. Well, that creates new social costs. These social costs are reflected in the business community. It just doesn't work from a business standpoint. And to exemplify this, if you take the average slot machine, it brings in $100,000 to $300,000 in lost consumer spending per year. Actually, with the multiplier effect, it's well over $300,000 per year. Well, that's money that's not being spent on cars, refrigerators, and even food and clothing, the necessaries of life. And the taxpayers have to pick this up when people lose all their money in these slot machines. But businesses are losing this money, this consumer spending, out of the economy. So for each one slot machine that you have, which is draining $300,000 or more per year out of the economy, you're losing one job out of the consumer economy. So basically, it's lose-lose for everybody. There's no real genuine debate about this anymore. And it's really unfortunate and disturbing that local governments are enamored with these promises of revenues, which are largely bogus.
Well, it seems to be very similar to what our state experienced a number of years ago with the empty promises of a state lottery, and that the lottery would be a great boon for education and provide all this benefit for the state. And in fact, what we have seen come to fruition is that the lottery funds supplant instead of supplement existing education funding and result in lots of different types of economic and social problems, very similar to those that you have thus far described.
I mean, the lotteries are a slow form of gambling. And if you haven't noticed, the lottery directors are trying to push more and more toward keno and slot machine types of gambling where people can gamble faster because they realize that these faster forms of gambling are more addictive. And so it's a constant push toward more and more and faster gambling.
What kind of impact would a casino have on local property values, for example?
Well, would you like a garbage dump located nearby or a nuclear waste dump located nearby? I mean, it's generally going to hurt property values. And the other huge thing to remember about a tribal casino is that they're going to try to locate on tribal land. They're going to call themselves a sovereign nation. And there is a huge body of tribal Indian law, which indicates that basically the tribes can do anything they want to on their own land. And the argument is that due process and other constitutional safeguards do not apply with regard to tribal casinos. So local business people, in many instances, have had trouble collecting finances from the local tribal members because they don't have to pay if they don't want to. And if you try to sue the tribe, you basically wind up in a tribal court. Well, the tribal court has its own rules under tribal traditions And those tribal traditions do not comply with constitutional safeguards and the normal judicial processes. So businesses are going to have a real wake-up call. And once a tribal casino is located in the area, it's a huge problem for businesses and governmental entities. Because if your governmental entities are so misled at this initial stage, just imagine what's going to happen when political contributions, legal political contributions, start being made.
And we have seen that in North Carolina with the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians in the western part of the state that our State Board of Elections has determined is not a corporation and therefore is able to make political contributions to candidates for office. So they're and they are one of the largest political action committees that exists in the state. But in addition to being exempt from local property taxes and things of that sort, one of the ways that casinos harm local economies and tribal casinos in particular is by increasing social service needs and costs. Dr. Kent, what are some examples of the social harms that come from casino gambling, as well as the related costs that will inevitably be borne by local citizens through tax increases or other means?
Well, people should visualize this as doubling the gambling addiction rate in their city, county, state, and locales. That's an easy way to visualize this. What would happen if we just overnight doubled the number of addicted people on drugs? Well, that's what gambling does. And again, these are the national statistics from the National Gambling Impact Study Commission indicating that gambling addiction is like drug addiction. And that, in fact, it doubles once you bring gambling into the area by means of electronic gambling, that is, these slot machines and electronic gambling devices.
If you could speak today with local elected officials and business leaders in Cleveland County, North Carolina, what advice would you give them about this casino proposal?
Well, I would say that they need to really do their homework and look at the National Gambling Impact Study Commission and the congressional testimony, which is included in the multi-volume books of the United States International Gambling Report, which was put together just to help government officials decide these things. They have really been misled by the PR statements of the gambling interests. And they should also remember that when you're testifying before Congress and before state legislatures, and when you're putting together these commissions and testifying before them, the numbers that I'm giving you are numbers which have been confirmed under oath. This is sworn testimony before the U.S. Congress and judicial and other bodies. These are not public relations numbers. Now, the gambling interests have got billions and billions of dollars to pursue a public relations interest. And that's one reason why Senator Paul Simon wanted the U.S. National Gambling Impact Study Commission. And it's just amazing how the gambling industry's numbers change when they have to testify under oath. And a lot of their numbers are simply sophomoric. They don't stand up. They don't even mention them when they have to prove their numbers under oath. So people need to really be skeptical about this, really do their homework. They can go online and find a lot of this information. It's really disturbing that with so much of this information out there on the web and elsewhere, that government officials are still being allowed to claim that this is economic development when it's not, and there's multiple information to support that.
Professor, we're unfortunately out of time for this week. I want to thank you so much for lending your expertise and insights on this very, very important topic and for joining us once again on Family Policy Matters. We greatly appreciate your time.
Great. Well, thank you for all that you do to inform and educate the public. Thank you.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-919-919. 800-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.